This is Finding Christ in Cinema. You have my permission to listen.
On this episode of Finding Christ in Cinema, we take the cherry picker through the alien hovercraft and look for Christian themes in Arrival. How is Dr. Banks different from the rest of the scientists? What can we learn from her measure of grace and being slow to speak? All that and more in 3, 2, 1. Hey, come on in. Admission is free. Grab a bowl of popcorn, extra butter, of course, and find a seat smack dab in the middle. It's time for Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 131. I'm Michael.
And I'm Brendan.
Join us, and together we'll dig deeper into the silver screen classics of yesteryear, as well as the box office hits of today. We'll take a closer look at the stories they tell and see if we find the face of Jesus looking back. We're going to explore the deeper meanings of these films, their plots and their twists, the characters and their choices, and how we can relate them to the gospel of salvation, and ultimately our Christian walk. You're tuned into Finding Christ in Cinema on the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission.
For the bare necessities, the simple...
What did we talk about last week?
Not singing on tenor, apparently, because I was trying to do that. We talked about the Disney 2016 live-action remake of The Jungle Book.
The remake, and it was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Brendan, I wasn't expecting to enjoy it that much. I've been thinking about it this whole past week.
Yes, I agree.
Did you have any addendums, afterthoughts? Oh, and another thing.
You know, I did, and it stems from that little side conversation of the word sagacity.
Yes, I love that word.
I know, and you mentioned it because Rudyard Kipling uses it in your favorite.
How the whale got his throat.
Yeah. So I looked it up on good old Google.
Yes,
and guys, as much as I love Google, sometimes you just have to have a palm slap on the head, because I look up sagacity, the quality of being sagacious.
There you go.
Well, that doesn't help. So I looked up sagacious. Having or showing keen mental discernment and good judgment.
Yes.
Or shrewd.
Yes.
So there you go. Just in case anyone was curious of what sagacity meant.
Your word of the day here on Finding Christ in Cinema. I had an afterthought that I wish that we had hit on. There were so many Christian themes in that film. Mm-hmm. I'm just telling you, it's jam-packed. Going back, and I was listening to the trailer. Listen to this. Where Baloo and Mowgli are floating down the river, having a wonderful day and afternoon together, and Baloo is humming and singing, "Look for the bare necessities." And Mowgli says, "What's that?" "Well, that's a song about the good life." Baloo, you weren't living the good life. And you know that you weren't living the good life until he was influenced and then ultimately brought into the family, the pack, by Mowgli. That is a hardcore Christian theme.
Yeah.
Man, listeners, if you haven't watched The Jungle Book, the 2016 remake, go and watch it, and then listen to our episode, Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 130. You can find that at christincinema.com. Wow. But Brendan, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we are talking about the 2016 breakout hit sci-fi thriller, Arrival.
Are you ready to go to the theater?
I really am.
There are days that define your story beyond your life. Like the day they arrived.
No signs of what might be called first contact. The objects measure at least 50.
I'm Colonel G.T. Weber from Army Intelligence.
Pack your bags.
You're at the top of everyone's list when it comes to translations.
Priority one. What do they want? Where are they from?
You'll be reporting to me, but you'll be working with him when you're in the show.
That's what they call him, the UFO.
Who's being carted off in the medevac?
Not everyone is wired for what you're about to do.
So what do they look like?
You'll see soon enough.
Every 18 hours, a door opens up.
That's where we go in.
It's tough.
Yeah, that just happened.
What happens now?
They arrive.
They need to see me.
Dr. Banks?
Are you insane?
Now that's a proper introduction.
More objects have landed around the world.
This is one of 12.
I'm never going to be able to speak their words.
Got 2 days. Figure something out.
I am human. It's their language. We need to make sure that they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Language is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
Are you dreaming in their language? It's possible they're prodding us to fight among ourselves.
This is just a way to force us to work together for once.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated?
Russia just executed one of their own to keep their secret.
Got 21 hours
before they start global war.
So how do we clarify their intentions?
I go back in.
Why does this feel worse?
Two things.
Yes.
We're going to spoil this film.
Yes.
If you have not watched Arrival, stop the show, turn off the radio. No. Whoa. Rob's going to kill me for saying turn off the radio. stop the podcast. Go and watch Arrival. You should have seen this already. This is a highly talked about film.
Oh, yes.
So we're going to spoil this film for you. If you have not seen it already, just know that. And second of all, filters up for one single utterance of real profanity, but it's the big one.
Yes.
It's the big one, and we're not talking the acronym fornicate under, you know, blah blah blah.
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
and on top of that, he puts a holy in front of it, so just And it's really an exclamation is what that use is. And you'll find that just under the 30-minute mark, you'll hear that. About 29 minutes and 50 seconds and change. So those two things, you've been forewarned.
There you go.
Brendan, what about this film?
Oh, I love it.
What?
I loved it because...
Did you see it at the theater?
I did. I did. Now, this, just to remind you, I went on a double feature with Sir Richard, FCC's very own Sir Richard, and we watched this first,
and then
we went 5 minutes later directly into The Force Awakens.
No,
I couldn't focus on The Force Awakens.
Of course you couldn't,
because of this movie.
This is what patron Saint Philip told us back when we covered The Martian with. Matt Damon. This is, I think that this would fall under hard science fiction.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is like realistic and earthy.
Yes. Yes.
I wish I had seen it in the theater.
Oh, man.
But you made a huge mistake. You didn't know.
I didn't know. We just said, you know what? We want to see Arrival, and we definitely want to see The Force Awakens. So, why not just fit them both into one day?
Wow.
One viewing after the other.
Okay, well, what were your initial thoughts?
Man, I enjoy it as I did then, as I do now, just because it's such a departure from the high action adventure genre.
Popcorn.
The popcorn movie feel. This movie, guys, I'm going to tell you, this movie is slow.
No, it isn't.
No, it's slow in that... There's a lot of...
This movie's deep.
It's deep. Bubba, still waters run deep.
Run deep.
I was thinking the same thing. That's what I'm talking about.
Hive mind.
Yeah, there you go. a handshake of binary sequences.
Yes.
It's a slow movie in that there's not a lot of, you know, high stakes involved at the very get-go. There's not a lot of action. There's not lasers pointing.
No lasers, no pew-pews.
You don't even see the aliens.
It's the exact opposite of what The Force Awakens
was.
Polar opposites.
And it was such an artistic departure from that. That I welcome.
You should have just stopped and just described this as an artistic film. This is art.
It is very, cinematically speaking, very, very high art. And it's just every scene is a pleasure. Every frame is a pleasure to watch.
Yes.
But then you've got this awesome story. And not only is it the story, but the way the story is told. And that plays into what we might be spoiling. But just the way it's crafted, the way it's presented, the form and the content of the film are so highly regarded in my mind. I love it. And I think you're mine too.
Oh my goodness. I had no idea what to expect because I didn't have a chance to go and see this at the theater. I saved my theater going experiences for big popcorn, Star Wars.
Fantastic Beasts.
Yes.
Doctor Strange.
Yes. The really huge movies. And I had no idea what I missed out on this. And you wouldn't tell me. You just said, you must see Arrival.
I didn't want to spoil it.
Well, I spoiled myself because I went and started looking. Why do I do this?
Why do you do
this? Why do I go to IMDb and read the user reviews? Right at the top of the page, you can see it if you're watching our live video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/ChristInCinema. It has 8.1 average stars. So mm-hmm. I'm thinking, oh, well, hardly anybody has anything bad to say.
No.
The negative comments.
They're there.
I mean, they're, oh my goodness. And so I texted you, hey, have you read the review? You never even responded back.
No, because I don't read the review.
But the way that we left it off last week was you said, I said, do I want to rent this movie or buy it? You want to buy this movie.
Yeah.
Okay. And so I did. You can get it for $15 on Amazon streaming,
mm-hmm.
High definition. And I watched it laying in bed and was blown away. All the things that you just said are all exactly what I felt.
Okay, good.
We had the same exact experience. Okay. What else do you want to say before we get to shout outs?
Oh, I don't know. I think we got it.
Okay.
It's just you guys, you just have to watch this movie. Guys and girls of all ages. Well,
humans.
If you are a human
or no one. If you are a human or happen to know one.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying.
Then you count.
If you are a human or if you are no one.
Or no one.
I was like, Michael, that's very patronizing.
Amy Adams.
Yes.
Is she in the menagerie yet?
Yes, because she played Lois Lane.
Yes.
And Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Ultimate edition. The only edition of Batman versus Superman.
The only edition that anyone needs to concern
themselves
with.
Well, and of course, Superman. We did Man of Steel.
That's true. Yes.
So I don't know why I forgot.
So FCC's very own Amy Adams.
I love Amy Adams.
Aren't we proud of her?
She carried this film.
Yes.
I mean, brother. What else can be said?
I don't know.
Fantastic acting. She was up for a best actor. Okay. FCC's very own Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Hawkeye Renner.
Yep. All the Avengers movies that we've covered them all. So mm-hmm. that's why he's FCC's very own. As Ian Donnelly, a math genius.
Yep. A theoretical physicist.
Now, what did you think about him? Because a lot of the negative reviews said, what was his purpose? To look stupid? You know, it's like, what?
No, he's representing the worldview that's in conflict with Amy Adams' character's worldview, which I'll get into that more on my point.
Awesome.
But not only that, but he ends up playing a very crucial role in those flash forwards.
Yeah. You just spoiled.
We've already given the warning, though.
Yeah, now you're venturing into your Lost update.
Which, by the way, I've started season 6.
Okay, stay tuned for the Lost update.
I think I need to slow down because I don't want it to end. But at the same time.
Hey, stop! Get back to this film!
Sorry. Okay. Darn. Where were we? Jeremy Renner. So another thing about this film. It plays on the cinematic representation of the time of the space-time continuum.
Okay.
There are scenes you think are flashbacks, but end up actually being flash forwards.
Yes.
Oh, man. And Jeremy Renner's character has a huge impact on those flashbacks and slash and, oh, Mulligan me.
Okay, Mulligan, first one of the show. Here it goes. Ready? And...
Jeremy Renner's character has a huge impact on those flash forwards as well as those flashbacks.
Okay. So you're going to address that?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, because you can't say he's not necessary because he is necessary.
Absolutely. He did a bang up job.
Yes.
Except for that one expletive.
Well, hey,
he even delivered that with
gusto.
Yeah.
So, okay, next up, Forrest Whitaker.
Welcome to the menagerie.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness.
As Colonel Weber?
I have always admired the acting prowess of Forrest Whitaker. You know, mm-hmm. I just saw we saw him in the latest Star Wars film.
Yes.
Which
when that comes
Rogue
out.
Rogue One.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be covering that mm-hmm. as soon as it comes out. But in this film, he blew me away.
Yeah.
Blew me away. I've always known that he's a fantastic actor. Now I know that he is one of the best of actors. His character ticks, his delivery, his timing, every single thing was a grand slam home run. Can I paint a more vivid picture of my feelings of him in this film?
No.
How about one more?
FCC's very own Michael Stuhlbarg.
Where did we see him last?
Oh, we saw him in Trumbo.
Trumbo! Yes! And you know what? He reminded me of Edward Gene Robinson in this one as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's antagonist, I guess.
Yeah, he'd be the antagonist.
Yeah, and he does a very fine job at that, because you don't know exactly what you're getting at the very beginning with him, do you?
Right. Mm.
But as it goes on, he is a yes man, because he's CIA, and so just a very interesting dynamic with that character. He's great. The guy's great. Anything else?
No, that's it.
How about the soundtrack?
Oh, man.
The score.
And we heard a nice little bit of it in the trailer.
Yes.
So good.
It's not on here for a quick link on IMDb, so I'm going to stumble all over myself trying to pull up this information. However, Norwegian, I think he's a Norwegian composer, and he works with this particular director, Dennis
Villanueva?
Yeah.
Or Villa...
I'll take that.
Yeah.
Anyway, they don't want to put the
Villanueva or something. I don't know.
See? Okay, Johansson. Yeah, music by Johan. Yeah, anyway. Great stuff.
Johan Jansson.
Creepy and eerie and all the wonderful things that you want in sci-fi. Real quick, a lot of people making a comparison of this or saying, oh, this is a poor man's version of 2001 Space Odyssey.
See, I've never seen that, so... I mean, I just know it's about the fake moon landing. That's all I know.
Yeah, no, that's The Shining, and cover that on Finding Christ in Cinema.
That's right.
Hey, so we're talking about First Contact with aliens, and we're talking about mass pandemonium amongst the common folk. Citizenry is going nuts, and they're looting, and people are jumping down the government's throat. You've had 2 days. Where's our answers and all this stuff? And then we have this linguist, a genius linguist, and she meets up with this great mathematician. Where's room for Christian themes in any of that? Do you think we can find some?
Oh, I know I did.
You did?
I did.
Well, on us.
I think you did too.
Yeah.
But hey.
Well, he wouldn't be here, of course.
So really, it all...
That's our shtick.
Hey, there you go. It all boils down to Louise Banks and her measure of grace.
Oh, okay.
Her measure of grace as it depends on her relationship with her research team.
Okay.
But more importantly, her relationship with the extraterrestrial beings.
Yes. Yes.
And this is...
I like that you're using the word relationship. How important is that?
Because I can't stress it enough. And because this is where we see it. And even at the very beginning, not the beginning of the film, but the beginning of the human's response to... this intrusion. If you want to talk like a plot device, the aliens are the intrusion.
Invading our personal space.
They are invading. Well, they're invading our worldview.
Yeah.
Oh, as well as our world.
Yes.
Because, you know, how many years do we spend thinking, oh, we're the only ones here. And then So, not to get off on too fringy of topic, but hey.
Fringy.
Yeah, fringy.
Lost.
I mean, hey, they did just find those 7 extra planets. So, who knows? Here in a couple of years, the aliens...
Amongst thousands of others. That's really not that big of a news story.
I know. but anyway, it all boils down to Luis Banks and her measure of grace. As the team is on the way to meet the aliens, she's convinced Colonel Weber that she will be a good asset to the team.
Yes.
She will be important to the team. He's picked her up in the helicopter in the middle of the night, and they're on their way to the site of the pod that's in, is it in Montana?
The shell.
Yeah. 12 of these shells have landed, you know, bunny ears landed on Earth, and they're just hovering over the surface. They haven't technically touched down. They're just hovering.
No, because they're leaving it up to us to reach up.
To reach up. Oh, get out of here.
Oh, we're right here. We're right here.
Give yourself a point on that.
Okay. I get a point.
That was good. So you're not even taking points. Okay.
It's right here. I remember now.
Oh. They're on their way in the helicopter, and she, you know, the sound of the helicopter is just so loud that she doesn't understand what this unknown character is saying to her.
Yes.
He's trying to talk to her. He's pointing to some book, and he's moving his lips, and then she turns to Colonel Weber. He's like, he motions to her, put your headset on. She puts it on, and now she can get into the conversation.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Language is the foundation of civilization. It's the glue that holds the people together. It is the first weapon drawn in a conflict.
Luis, this is Ian Donnelly. Luis Banks, Ian Donnelly.
It's quite a greeting.
Yeah, well, you wrote it.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you write as a preface. Dazzle them with the basics.
Yeah, it's great. Even if it's wrong.
It's wrong.
Well, the cornerstone of civilization isn't language, it's science.
And right there,
we got some contradiction going on.
Right there is the clash of worldviews.
Ah.
Jeremy Renner's character, Ian Donnelly, he sees the world as having the cornerstone of science.
Huh.
Whereas Louise Banks, I'm going to say Louise Fletcher, that's a different person altogether. Louise Banks, she sees...
Dr. Banks.
Oh, she is a doctor, right?
Yes. Okay. So be respectful.
Okay. So, Dr. Okay. Banks. Yes. Yeah, so, hey, she didn't go to doctor school for nothing.
No, exactly.
Doctor school. You know about that. Dr. Banks, she says the cornerstone is language. Whereas Donnelly, is he a doctor too?
I don't know.
Who knows? Who cares?
Yeah. He's a superhero.
That's right. He says it's science.
Didn't go to superhero school for nothing.
We've got this clash of worldviews.
Mm-hmm.
But as we'll hear in this next clip, we hear the difference in what these two worldviews mean.
Ian is a theoretical physicist from Los Alamos. You'll be reporting to me, but you'll be working with him when you're in the show.
That's what they call him, the UFO.
Priority one. What do they want? Where are they from?
And beyond that, how did they get here? Are they capable of faster than light travel? Are they, you might want that list of questions that, you know, go over, starting with a series of just handshake binary sequences.
How about we just talk to them before we start throwing math problems at them?
This is why you're both here.
How about we just talk to them instead of throwing math problems at them? See, that's what I love about Dr. Banks' character. She wants to get that relationship going first. And later on in the movie, she understands why it's important to have this relationship, because once that relationship is established, then you can start asking the big questions like, what is your purpose here? Why did you come to Earth? But you have to have that initial relationship first in order to get there. And that's simply the Christian theme I want to point to, specifically with Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, this time out of the Amplified version. Conduct yourselves with wisdom in your interactions with outsiders, parentheses meaning non-believers, close parentheses. Make the most of each opportunity, treating it as something precious. Let your speech at all times be gracious and pleasant, seasoned with salt, so that you will know how to answer each one who questions you.
Hmm.
See, this worldview of letting the relationship happen first, I would call it an ethic. Does this qualify as an ethic?
It's definitely a more.
Okay, good. So, yeah, I'm not too keen on those terms, but it's a way of operating. It's a mode of operating.
It's your own culture. It's a paradigm.
Yes. Yeah, paradigm. There you go. Letting the relationship happen first and getting to know one another.
Amen.
And if you want to talk about it in terms of this film, it's the only way to truly let the extraterrestrials say what they want to say and actually listen to them for what they're saying.
They came here. They have something to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But then you flip that to Christianity. That's really the only way, through language, through discussion, through relationship, that seeds are planted for the kingdom.
Amen.
That seeds are watered for the kingdom.
Relationship.
And that ultimately the family is protected within the kingdom. The body is protected within the kingdom is through those relationships. The collective body of the church is protected and made better, spurring one another to do works. You know, insert your favorite Bible verse here, but it's all about the relationships.
Yes.
And it reminds me of a quote from Tim Keller. I don't know if you're familiar with him other than, you know, what I've said, but he tweeted a while back, "Truth without love is imperious self-righteousness." "Love without truth is cowardly self-indulgence."
I like it.
He's good for the aphorisms.
That's
the
pithy.
It is quite. But I just want to focus on that. Truth without love is imperious self-righteousness, and that's the kind of attitude that Jeremy Renner's character Ian Donnelly brings to the table.
Yes.
He wants the truth. He wants the crux of the matter right here, right now.
Cut to the chase.
Yes. Don't give time for relationship. Don't be gracious.
Well, in fact, everybody else wants that.
Yeah. And this is where Dr. Banks shines in this theme of grace.
So she really serves as a tool to teach us what it means to communicate.
Yeah.
It means relationship. We can build on that when we get back on the other side of the break.
I think so.
Yes, communication, you know, has to do with talking, but it also has to do with not talking.
With listening.
Yes. So join us when we come back on the other side of the break here on Finding Christ in Cinema. For more of Finding Christ in Cinema, follow us on Twitter at Christ in Cinema and Facebook at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Welcome back to Finding Christ in Cinema. Today we are talking about the Oscar-nominated 2016 hard sci-fi breakout hit, Arrival.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan, we had spent the first segment of the show talking about grace through communication.
Mm-hmm. But grace within communication, how Dr. Louise Banks, played by Amy Adams, how she is... She is wanting to get to know the extraterrestrials before she starts asking all the hard-hitting questions, whereas the rest of her team and everyone else in the world,
yes,
including otherworldly superpowers like China, for example, they want the crux of the matter right here, right now. Why are you here? They're not focusing on the relationship. They're focusing on the truth. And as we just quoted Timothy Keller, truth without love is imperious self-righteousness. Whereas what Dr. Louise Banks is trying to do is trying to extend that grace, is trying to get to know these guys, these new outsiders, these extraterrestrials to the planet.
These visitors,
trying to get to know them with relationship, and then from that relationship, asking the big questions. But the relationship has to come first.
Yes.
And we can apply that to our Christian walk, in that whenever we meet somebody who either A, has different beliefs that we do, has no belief whatsoever, or is even someone in the church who we may disagree with on, you know, a little thing.
Right. A minor issue.
A non-salvation issue. It takes that relationship first in order to start planting those right seeds.
Excellent.
And who knows, you may be changed too. That's only for God to know. You know what I mean?
Amen.
But just throughout this film, watch and learn from Dr. Louise Banks.
See, Dr. Louise Banks knows that that talking is listening, mm-hmm. right?
Well, that communication is part broadcasting and part receiving.
And it should be a larger part receiving than broadcasting.
Exactly.
See, but she also knows that there is a they are all running a risk of misreading heptapods and their logograms with human eyes.
Aren't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Brendan, this movie ties in directly. The first thought that I had as I'm watching this film was misreading scripture through Western eyes or with Western eyes.
And what is that again, Michael?
That is that wonderful book, and I should have put the author's names here in my show notes, but I didn't do that because I don't think ahead of...
Randy Richards and Brandon O'Brien.
I love it. Thank you for being so smart, Mr. Yeah. Brendan.
Hey.
And we have been begging our listeners for at least a year.
Yeah.
It seems like, to read this book. This book is very important for us in the Western culture. Because, well, we'll get to that a little bit later on. So Dr. Louise Banks, she comprehends the basic problem in communication, especially between vastly different cultures. Mm-hmm. Vastly. And that there's much more to work out before understanding can even begin. Mm-hmm. You got huge hurdles before you can even begin to understand each other. But she is willing and even desirous to work towards bridging that gap.
Mm-hmm.
And how is she going to bridge that gap? Through knowledge and, to piggyback on yours, understanding.
Mm-hmm.
How important are those things? You know, the opening film... the opening scene, you just hear her talking. I used to think this was the beginning of your story. Memory is a strange thing, as she's talking to a baby. It doesn't work the way I thought it did. We are so bound by time, by its order. But now I'm not sure I believe in beginnings and endings. There are days that define your story beyond your life, like the day they arrived.
Mm-hmm.
She's a professor. She teaches at a university. And here she comes into her classroom. And what does she start doing? There's only a handful of kids in here.
Yeah.
Because a bunch of people are out in the hallway and, or some common area with mm-hmm. news going on. But mm-hmm. she doesn't really stop to see what they're checking out. She's just struck by the fact that there's a handful of students only in this mm-hmm. big classroom. And well, anyway, she's going to carry on. She's a professional. We're talking about Portuguese. Portuguese is much different than the other Romance languages, and mm-hmm. it goes back to the Middle Ages and blah, 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 where these people saw language as art.
Yeah.
Bing! That's where I first, you know, ears perked up. Okay, language as art. There's a lot in that statement itself. We could talk about that all day long. Well, when she finds out that, wait a second, oh, we have first contact going on, and now the world's going crazy, and she's listening to all these news reports, and over one of the news reports, we can hear a lady ask the question, if this is some kind of a peaceful contact, why send 12? Why not just send one? Well, that makes sense to us, does it not?
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to go and enter in somebody else's personal space, you want to do it, you know, innocuously, right? You don't mm-hmm. want to bring everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
You don't show up with an army. But is that the way that these visitors think?
No,
That's a big question, mm-hmm. isn't it? Well, Colonel Weber shows up at her office. While she's, you know, still listening to more news reports, and what does he say? 2 days. 2 days, and already the public expects us to know the answers. We know now that he's under pressure. He's an important person in the armed forces,
mm-hmm.
but he's got a lot of people to answer, mm-hmm. namely the public.
That's right.
Because they're looting and rioting and just being ugly, right, as people are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
He takes her. You covered that on the helicopter. Her and Hawkeye, and they go up to Montana to visit a shell. And Colonel Weber has questions about why would this take so long? You are the best at what you do. Why are we not getting answers? Because I got to give some answers. Mm-hmm. They're breathing down my neck. And she says, kangaroo. Right? Great performance.
Explain that one.
Yeah, what does that mean? What's that supposed to mean to me? Well, you know, when Captain Cook first landed in Australia, met up with the Aborigines and trying to communicate with them, he points to this funny animal that's hopping around he'd never seen before, and they said, kangaroo. You know, what's this? Kangaroo. Oh, okay. Great. That's a great story. Well, the problem is that kangaroo means I don't understand. Ah, okay. You made my point. You made your point to Colonel Weber, even though it wasn't a true story. That isn't a myth. And she, you know, she tells Hawkeye that. She's trying to explain to him these obstacles between these two cultures that are so different. How do we overcome these obstacles? Well, we need to listen. We need to listen to them. She figures out that she needs to start doing a representation. Words, human. Mm-hmm. I'm human. Mm-hmm. He's human. We're all human. And these things. And then she moves on to names. But she has to submit a list of vocabulary that she wants to go over to Colonel Weber so that he can submit it to his bosses.
Right.
And he says, he's reading it. Eat, walk. What is this? Help me understand.
First, we need to make sure that they understand what a question is. Okay, the nature of a request for information along with the response. Then we need to clarify the difference between a specific you and a collective you, because we don't want to know why Joe Alien is here. We want to know why they all landed. And purpose requires an understanding of intent. We need to find out, do they make conscious choices, or is their motivation so instinctive that they don't understand a why question at all? And biggest of all, we need to have enough vocabulary with them that we understand their answer.
There are a lot of hurdles to overcome, obstacles that nobody else is able to see. Mm-hmm. Nobody else involved is able to see these complex problems that need to be figured out before communication can even begin, before understanding can even begin. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is that time that Hawkeye, what's his character's name? I can't call him Hawkeye.
Ian Donnelly.
Yes. Mr. Donnelly, Dr. Donnelly, Ian has some alone time with her, and he is impressed with her.
You approach language like a mathematician. You know that, right?
I will take that as a compliment.
Yeah, well, it is. I watch you steer us around these communication traps that I didn't even know existed. So, what? I guess that's why I'm single.
Trust me, you can understand communication and still end up single.
Two very important things in this sound clip.
Aww.
One, you navigate us around problems I never even knew existed.
Mm-hmm.
A learning moment for him.
Yeah.
Right? Now he knows. And two, you know, maybe if I was able to communicate better, I wouldn't be single. What's her response? Even if you can communicate well, you can still end up single.
Mm-hmm.
You can still end up with zero. Okay. All of the math, you're a mathematician, it can still, the sum can be zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That is why communication is so important. Okay. Even if you can, you have the veneer, the illusion of communicating,
mm-hmm.
you can do it wrong. That's why this is so important. Right? In fact, Ian has more to say to her.
You know, I was doing some reading about this idea that if you immerse yourself into a foreign language, that you can actually rewire your brain.
The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis.
Hmm.
The theory that it's the theory that the language you speak determines how you think and.
Yeah, it affects how you see everything. It was. I'm curious. Are you dreaming in their language?
Brendan, do you remember that concept from the book, Misreading Scripture with Western Eyes?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, that is a big concept. So let's slow down a little bit on that. The Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, or otherwise known as linguistic relativity.
Mm-hmm.
Often defined to include two versions. The strong version says that language determines thought and that linguistic categories limit and determine cognitive categories. Whereas the weak version says that linguistic categories are usage only. They influence thought and decisions. Either way, whether it's the strong version or the weaker version, your language influences, at the very least, what you think, what concepts your culture wrestles with. And that's right. What she's trying to tell them all along. How do these beings even think? What's their thought process like? Yeah. So when they are saying something and giving us signs, what does that mean? Not what does it mean to us, what does it mean to them first and foremost? And then we need to figure out based on that what it means to us.
Exactly.
Because that's the big problem. Because it gets to this point where she has to go in and say, what is it that you want? What do you want? This is the big question that they've been working up to. We can now communicate on such a level that I can ask you the question, what do you want? And their response scares everybody.
But you saw what they wrote.
Using a word they don't fully understand.
A warning.
Enough. Louise.
We don't know if they understand the difference between a weapon and a tool. Our language, like our culture, is messy, and sometimes one can be both.
And it's quite possible that they're asking us to offer them something, not the other way around. Like the first part of a trade.
So how do we clarify their intentions beyond those two words?
Well, I go back in. Right away, we go back in and we clear this up.
It's more complicated than that.
How is it more complicated than that?
See, the thing that that these visitors said that scared everybody to death was offer weapon.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing here? Offer weapon. What does that mean? And what's the army, what's the armed forces automatically going to think?
Oh, they're here to destroy us.
They're
going to
assume the worst because It's their job to protect us from the worst. And she's saying, hold on. They may not even know. And look what her dichotomy. They may not even understand the difference between a weapon and a tool, where it turns out it's neither one of those.
It's weapon, tool.
It was a gift. That's what they call it at the end. That's what Costello calls it. Use the gift.
Mm-hmm.
Use the gift. You have the gift. This is such a beautiful, beautiful film. But so we've been talking about communication all day long on Finding Christ in Cinema. So let me give some passages that will bolster this and help you along. First of all, let's just preface this with Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, out of the NET, the New English Translation. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love its use will eat its fruit. What fruit? Either death or life.
Mm-hmm.
If you like to talk and you like to use the tongue, as Dr. Banks does, that's what her whole life is, right?
She's a linguist. Yeah.
And all these other people are wanting to talk with these visitors. Let's talk, 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 talk. Let's figure out what's going on. They are... their words and their actions are going to produce death. That's the fruit of the words that they're using. I mean, look at the general over in China and talking about at least four nations will do exactly what he does,
uh-huh.
You know, AKA launch an attack on one of these things.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to eat the fruit of the power of the tongue. But there's also life in it, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And that's what Dr. Banks wants. Life mm-hmm. for all involved. Mm-hmm. Okay, Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, out of the NILT, the New Living Translation. Let's think of these visitors as the personification of wisdom.
Oh, go ahead.
As our friend the preacher, a.k.a. Solomon, David's son, liked to do. Listen, as wisdom calls out. Here, as understanding raises her voice. On the hilltop, along the road, she takes her stand at the crossroads, by the gates, at the entrance to the town. On the road leading in, she cries aloud, I call to you, to all of you. I raise my voice to all people. You simple people, use good judgment. You foolish people, show some understanding. Listen to me, for I have important things to tell you. Everything I say is right, for I speak the truth and detest every kind of deception. My advice is wholesome. There is nothing devious or crooked in it. My words, Dr. Banks, are plain to anyone with understanding, clear to those with knowledge. Who has the understanding? Who has the knowledge in this story? Dr. Banks.
Dr. Banks.
And that's why she can hear. Why can she hear? Because she is listening. Your key text, Brendan, James, chapter 1, verse 19, out of the NILT, the New Living Translation, James says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Does that not epitomize Dr. Louise Banks?
That's it.
In this film. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Awesome film, but I have a quick sidebar. Let me just put this in, because this is some practical lessons for us as Christians in light of misreading hepapods or their logograms with human eyes. Not a single word, this may surprise you, not a single word in the Holy Scriptures were uttered or written in English.
What?
It's true. It is true. Every single translation we have today is a... Oh, spoiler alert. Every single translation we have today is a translation. And they all contain many transliterations. There's the tricky part, because there are still words that we cannot translate into English, Brendan. We do not have equivalent words, so we invent them. Many words in our Bibles are ad hoc.
That's a fallacy, isn't it?
No. It's just cut out of whole cloth.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, actually, that's not true, because we take the original word and go, well, what kind of a word can we come up that will look like this and kind of sound like it, but it's an English word, right?
Yeah.
That's transliterations. Words like baptism, like apostle, like angel. Many words. Mm-hmm. And here's the problem, though, with transliterated words is that they, it's adding to our language, our dictionary, and over time, they take on connotations and nuances of their own. And those nuances may or may not have been a part of the original word, the intent of the author. We have to be mindful when we are reading our scripture. And so that's just a tip for everybody.
A hat tip.
Okay.
Or a pro tip.
And there's no perfect translation out there, not even the authorized version. Okay, so there you go. This is a great film, Brenda. Did you have any questions, comments, piggybacks, editorials, off-the-wall remarks?
I did, just very briefly.
Yes.
This whole discussion about how the words we say affect our thoughts, talking about the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis or theory.
Yes.
It reminded me of what you talked about with The Little Prince. When we covered The Little Prince here on the show. That Netflix original movie.
Oh, yes. With FCC's very own Jeff Bridges. Hi. Sorry.
Men, and this is a C.S. Lewis quote, so I'm sure a lot of people could see it coming from a mile away.
Yes.
As the Babylon Bee informed us. Men do not continue to think what they have forgotten how to say.
Yeah. Yep.
Just putting that out
there. Amen. And now it's time for some feedback. And so grab your coconuts, ladies and gentlemen, because we're on a trip down to, I don't know.
Martha.
No, not Martha.
Weird. Calling him weird. That's weird.
Patron Saint Philip is going to take us down to King Philip's Stables of Doom. Oh, that was weird. What did I do? I goofed up the board. He left a comment on Finding Christ in Cinema, episode number 130, The Jungle Book, Freedom from the Law.
He says, man, this is a gorgeous film.
Amen.
And deserving of its Oscar for visual effects.
Yay! Kids love that.
That's right. You guys nailed it down good regarding freedom from the law. And I would add this as a reminder from Titus chapter 3, verse 9, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, quarrels, and fights about the law, because they are useless and empty.
Mm.
And that's from the NET, the New English Translation. Unity is so important, and we shouldn't let disagreements about personal preferences come between us and Christ's church. As long as we all agree...
That's in New Zealand.
Get out of here.
Okay.
As long as we all agree that Michael Gambon was the best Dumbledore, that is.
No.
Hey, he's the patron, man. He's the patron. He's extended...
Richard Harris. We've already decided that has been put to bed.
Nope.
He's a heretic! Causing division and strife and factions and schisms. Shame on you, Patron Saint Philip.
Love the show, guys. Hashtag
MoeWeLad Gimlin. Brendan, we are running fast out of time. Do you have any
well-mannered frivolity?
A real quick Lost update.
Oh, what? You found it? It was gone last week, but...
It was gone, but I found it. I have finally started season 6.
Oh.
Man, 2 different timelines going on.
Are you confused?
I'm very confused.
Wow.
But I love it, though. I'm not so confused that I'm lost. But it's very interesting to see the first timeline of the alternate 2004.
Yeah.
And the current timeline of 2007, how they're going side by side and how they will...
Fringy.
Oh man, here we go.
So you just can't wait to get done with that.
I can't.
Show, huh?
I can't.
Hey, after years of searching, Brendan, I found my hat. Okay. Look at this if you're watching on the video. I've always wanted it's a newsboy. Okay, and everybody says, well, big deal, flat cap, 8-pound flat cap. You can get those anywhere. Nope. Modern hats are not right. Okay. This is the hat that
Ulysses Everett McGill.
Yeah, would say makes me bonafide.
Bonafide. He's a suitor.
So there, lots of room, lots of floppiness on there, and
I like the smell of my hair treatment.
And I've been searching that forever, and that is very frivolous.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anything else?
Oh, hey, well, really quickly, last weekend we filmed for the 54-hour film fest.
Uh-huh.
And hopefully here in the next couple of weeks, I'll be able to publicly share that little short film. It's only 5 minutes. Michael, you got to see it.
It is.
We both laughed.
Delightful.
Yes, and that's all it's meant to be.
I can't wait till you can share that with everybody. Brendan, what's coming up on Finding Christ in Cinema?
Oh, next week we've got to hit Doctor Strange.
Let's do it!
Let's do it.
How about anything after that?
Oh, we need a classic. We need to hit a classic. What did we discuss? I forgot.
African Queen. You wanted to do Spartacus.
Spartacus, that's right.
Number one. But whether we do Spartacus or African Queen or whatever, all that matters is Finding Christ in Cinema is live in the GCT Network studio each Saturday, Lord willing, at around 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can join us for live video on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Christ in Cinema. Finding Christ in Cinema is part of the Great Commission Transmission Network, a listener-supported ministry using new media and social networking to equip and encourage you to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to everyone. To find out more and to partner with us, visit us at gctnetwork.com/donate.
You know what this feels like to me? This feels like a Russian invasion.
No. To witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational digital ministry, including all 131 episodes of Finding Christ in Cinema and the list of films we've covered, visit our website at christincinema.com. You can send us email to fcc@gctnetwork.com. gctn@gmail.com.
Or you can call us on the voice line at 507-407-GCTN.
Weird.
Or the emergency backup line at 507-407-4286. Now, let's say you just want to listen to the good old podcast.
I do.
You can go to iTunes, you can go to Stitcher, you can go to TuneIn Radio, and you can now go to Google Play Music and search them all for Finding Christ in Cinema.
And for all the shows that we produce here at the Great Commission Transmission Network, including our brothers in Texas, the Theonauts, and our brand new super duper secret Tolkien podcast, the Secret Fire podcast, get over to our official website at gctnetwork.com. Mr. Brendan Taylor, anything else?
It was tied to an anvil.
And that is a wrap.
No, not those three wombats. No way.
The air cut to it.
You are tuned in to the GCT Network.
This is your Great Commission transmission
at gctnetwork.com.